You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, there's a new kind of contraceptive on the brink of being approved, an injectable male birth control. We'll find out why it's facing barriers to make it onto the market.
First, a project underway at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism is trying to identify so-called news deserts around Wisconsin. These are geographic or demographic gaps where news coverage doesn't exist. And the gaps aren't just isolated to rural areas where a local newspaper may no longer be in circulation.
Mia Sato joins us now. She's heading up this news desert project. She's the public engagement and marketing intern at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism here on the UW-Madison campus. Mia, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So explain for us, what are news deserts?
Sure. So a news desert is similar to a food desert, if you've heard that term. So they're either geographic or demographic areas that are starved and parched of local, fresh, relevant news. And so the geographic area is kind of self-explanatory. A newspaper might shut down, or maybe there never was a local paper to cover that area. And then the demographic area is more the demographic groups are more varied. So it could be that the coverage of these groups isn't very representative. It could be that the only coverage of the groups are certain types of stories, things like that.
So you made the example in Milwaukee, African-American coverage in Milwaukee. Is that one example?
So I've heard conflicting things about that example, actually. Some people say that coverage tends to be limited to a lot of crime stories and the occasional feel-good story. But then I've also heard folks saying that there's a wealth of Black media outlets for those communities. So it's something that I'm planning on looking more into.
As you look into this issue, do you see a problem with news deserts here in Wisconsin?
All the research that I've read has said that it's a problem across the United States. So I brought some statistics to kind of outline it. The Bureau of Labor Statistics said that newspaper employment went down more than 50% from 2001 to 2016. And there's several national projects, such as the Media Deserts Project at Ohio University. There was a report from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill saying what a problem this is across the country. So this is something that we're looking into at Wisconsin and seeing what degree of a problem we have.
And this particular issue is something of interest to you because you grew up, you said your grandparents read different newspapers.
Yeah, I am now realizing that I was really lucky to be growing up in areas where there was a lot of newspapers and a lot of coverage. I come from a biracial, multicultural, multinational family. And I remember my mom's family is from Appleton. One of my earliest memories growing up is seeing my grandma spread the Post Crescent across the living room floor and read every single page front to back. And I remember my dad always having weekly newspapers, weeklies, carrying them around that were published in Japan, obviously. So I have been very lucky, and I'm noticing now that not everyone has shared the same experience as I have.
Mia, where are you with your research at this point?
Right now, I'm just in the process of talking to as many citizens, as many journalists, as many publishers as I possibly can, and trying to identify the areas of interest.
What have you found so far in talking to people?
I've gotten a lot of comments about northwestern Wisconsin, especially around the Twin Cities, and how they don't get like Wisconsin television channels. They don't know who's running for local office. They don't get Wisconsin political coverage. And actually, just as I was up on my way up to the studio, I got an email saying that a reporter in Madison was mentioning how her hometown paper, the Chilton Journal Times, just shut down. And there's coverage from the Post Crescent of the Chilton area, but it's a really small community of about 3,000 people, so the coverage is limited.
We're talking right now with Mia Sato. She is public engagement and marketing intern at the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. She has a program underway or a research project underway looking at news deserts around Wisconsin. Mia, how concerned should we be about news deserts and whether they exist at all?
I think it's a huge concern for everyone, not just people in small small communities or rural areas or marginalized communities, but local news is really the backbone in a lot of cases for political awareness and social engagement. And the local politics that occur at the state and city levels are immensely important to everyone.
Once you've gathered all your research, you've identified the areas that don't have adequate local news coverage or have demographic gaps, then what? What happens?
We hope to work with existing news infrastructure. So it's not that we're saying that there's no outlets in these areas, but we recognize that there's great local journalism that's taking place and people working really, really hard. So part of the mission of the center is to increase the quality and the quantity of investigative reporting and news in general. So really working with the people who are already on the ground, trying to come up with solutions to these problems, because we recognize that the problems will look different in every area.
So what's your toughest challenge in identifying a news desert and figuring out, is there really a lack of local coverage here?
I think something that I'm running into is it's really hard to compare two areas or two demographics or an area and a demographic. And it's really hard to say, like, one place has it worse than another. Just because you get 6 emails from people in one community doesn't necessarily mean that that problem is worse than an area that you only get 1 email about. So I'm just trying to learn as much as I possibly can, hear from as many people, whether those are concerned citizens, community organizers, different organizations, things like that.
And how should the public get involved? How do you want people to get involved with you and talk to you?
I'm really glad you asked that question, because I'm hoping that some listeners will be able to chime in. People can email me at msato@wisconsinwatch.org, msato@wisconsinwatch.org. And that's really where I've been communicating with a lot of people, emailing back and forth, calling. And also, if you're an organization, feel free to reach out to me as well.
And then how long is this process? How long will this research gathering process be?
So we kind of foresee this being a multi-year project. So we would take, right now we're working on identifying one geographic and one demographic community. And then next year, perhaps doing another set, because we recognize that there aren't just two news deserts in the state of Wisconsin, and recognize that it will take a while to learn the intricacies of these communities and what their needs are. So we are hoping that this will be a sustaining project.
And when people reach out to you, what would be most helpful for them to tell you? What do you need from them?
I guess, what is it like for you to get news? How do you find out what's going on right around you? Is that Facebook? Is it friends? Word of mouth? Do you have to go online for all of your news because there isn't a paper in your area? I would just love to hear what it is like for you to find out what's going on.
How has Facebook impacted local news coverage?
I'm not sure.
And how are you treating it as part of your research?
Sure. Yeah, we're definitely taking it into account, because I have heard comments from folks saying that the only way they can find out what's going on is through Facebook posts that people in their town have posted, things like that. So I don't have any numbers, or I don't really know how exactly Facebook has affected it. But I think everyone around, you know, journalists definitely see the impact that it's had, but we're trying right now to put our finger on it.
And how will you share your results, your information with other states and other projects? And what does that add up to?
Sure. We're definitely trying to have it be a replicable model. So we're hoping to have a map that identifies all the different news outlets, where there are holes in it. And once we can brainstorm with community groups, citizens, then we can share those results. We're really about sharing what our findings and our stories for free for everyone. So the center will surely uphold that.
And so basically, ideally, once you would get pool all that research, you could have this interactive map. I could go on there and find out what my local news options are for where I live in my zip code.
Yeah, that would be amazing. That's what we're trying to get.
And as we go out here, what is the next step in this project? What are you working on next?
So right now we're trying to touch base with people maybe at one level above everyday citizens. So we're looking at experts from other states, people who have done national projects, getting best practices, and really trying to gather our data in a way that makes sense, in a way that's correct, and in a way that we can use, and then we can share the results with other groups.
Mia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Mia Sato is public engagement and marketing intern for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism here in Madison. She joined us to talk about a project that seeks to identify news deserts around Wisconsin.
Coming up, for the first time in over a century, a new kind of male birth control might become available. But pharmaceutical companies haven't jumped on it yet. We'll find out why. I'm Judith Sears Poisson.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.